us in singing We Fall Down. We're gonna have a pack with some new program. Send them to all over the world. It's a lot of fun. It's the right time to just have a good fellowship with each other. Invite for you to come and involve it for all ages. And we're cracking at 10 o'clock and be over in the educational room.
Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone here this morning, especially our first-time visitors. It's an honor to see so many here this morning. If you are a visitor for the
fellowship with each other, I encourage you to come and get involved. It's for all ages. And we're going to start packing it at 10 o'clock, and we'll be over in the educational room.
Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone here this morning, especially our first-time visitors. It's an honor to see someone. If you are visiting for the very first time, we'd invite you to look in front of you in the pew rack. There's a visitor's card you can fill out and put in the offering plate when this passed around during our service. In addition to the announcement about the Operation Bandanas, Wednesday evening at 6:30 will be our quarterly business meeting. It will be here in the sanctuary, and that will be the only activity we have this Wednesday. And then next Sunday, we'll be having a Patriot July 4th service, so make sure you're here for that. And further down on the right side of your bulletin, a couple of special announcements. Vacation in Bible School is going to be first week in August, Wednesday through Friday. And if you can save your egg cartons and give them to Rachel Smith, Rachel, if you'll wave at everybody, she would appreciate that. And then also, several had asked about church T-shirts, so we are placing an order for those. The order form is on the bulletin board in the vestibule. There's a choice of three different designs and a choice of three different. We'll be taking orders for that through July 14th. And hope to have them the last Sunday in July, so you will have them to wear during Bible school, when we do our mission projects and different things like that to promote the church. So if you have any questions, you can see me about the T-shirts. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful to be in your house this morning, Lord, that we can come and worship your holy name. We pray, Father God, that you would open our eyes to see and our ears to hear the word that you have given Pastor Jacob for us this day. We pray, Father God, for those that couldn't be with us this morning due to health elements. We just pray that your healing hand would be upon them, Lord. And we just pray that you would rain down from heaven your Holy Spirit, Lord, and fill this place today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please turn in your handbook to 572. I love to tell the story. We're going to sing the first and the third verses.
Standing.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this opportunity, Lord, that we can give back a portion of that you have so richly bestowed upon us. Father God, we just ask that you would take these tithes and offerings that we're about to receive, multiply them, Lord, and use them to continue the spread of your gospel both here in our community and abroad. Bless the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. The title of the song is Walk Me Through, and it talks about through our life we're going to see storms, we're going to have fears, we're going to have dangers, but he's going to walk us through, because our Sunday school class this morning for the kids was Jesus Promised the Holy Spirit. And through that, I had read them as we talked about it, that in John 14 and 16, and it says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you, not just now, but forever." So pray for me as I sing.
There's a storm on the horizon. Walk me through. As I face the fear and danger, walk me through. When the darkness hovers near and I don't know what to do, take my hand, gentle shepherd, walk me through. Walk me through. Walk me through. Give me grace to keep my eyes on you. Be my comfort, be my guide, shelter me from rising tides. I'm depending, Lord, on you to walk me through. There'll be winds of pain and sadness, walk me through. When all hope has turned to sorrow, walk me through. When I grow too weak to stand and I lose sight of the truth, carry me, O faithful Father, walk me through. Walk me through. Walk me through. Give me grace to keep my eyes on you. Be my comfort, be my guide, shelter me from rising tides. I'm depending, Lord, on you to walk me through. Walk me through. Walk me through. Give me grace to keep my eyes on you. Be my comfort, be my guide, shelter me from rising tides. I'm depending, Lord, on you to walk me through.
Can y'all hear me? All right, if you would, go ahead and open your Bibles to Luke chapter 16. We have spent the last three Sundays looking at the book of Jonah and studying that. And this Sunday, we're going to look at a parable from the Gospel of Luke. And next Sunday, we're going to start looking at a different book of the Bible. But if you'll turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 16 and then just kind of look up at me so that I know that you're there, we'll open up a prayer in just a second. All right, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this time together, Lord. I thank you for the beautiful music that you've used to stir our hearts and make us love you more. I pray now, Lord, that as we look at your word, that you would use this time to teach us all something and give us something that we can apply to our lives. I pray, Father, you would give me the right words and you would help me to say them clearly. Most of all, Father, we pray that this sermon, this time together, would bring you honor and glory. In your most holy name we pray, Lord. Amen. So before we look at the scripture, I have to tell y'all a story this morning. I think it might have been my very first week working at First Baptist Sanford. I think I was like 25 and I was down in my office, very first week, still getting to know everybody, you know, the people who work there, the folks who come in and out. And I had this guy come into my office. Have y'all ever had somebody show up to your work or your office, and as soon as they walked in your mind, you just went, this is not going to go well? You know, like you either think, I'm going to have to call the police today, or this is not going to go well. Well, this guy walked in, and that's exactly what I thought. He walked in, I thought, my day is about to get a lot stranger. He's about this tall and had this super duper long beard. I mean, he looked like a short Gandalf or wizard or something. And he came in, and this was the first time that I had heard this story, but I would hear it 50 or 60 more times. And he gave me this story about how he was leaving Florida and trying to get to like California, and he ran out of gas and just needed a little bit of money or something like that. And I'm sitting there thinking of the map in my head because I have no sense of direction, but I'm thinking Florida, okay. You know, so he basically spent about 10 minutes trying to hustle me for money. And I offered, I said, you know, sir, I can get you something to eat, or you're welcome to sit here in the air conditioning and relax for a little while. Or if you want, we've got hot showers back there. You can take a shower. And in my mind, I was thinking, yes, let's take advantage of the shower, you know. But he didn't want any of that. He just wanted me to whip out some cash and give him cash. And eventually I had to explain. I said, sir, I don't just give out money. I said, I'll never turn you down for food. If you need medicine, I might help you with that. But I'm not just going to give you cash. And immediately he was sitting in this chair in front of my desk, and he immediately went, and he started doing this number. And he pretended to have a heart attack. I mean, just a full-on Sanford and Son, I'm coming, Elizabeth, over-the-top heart attack. And then he went, and he pretended to die in my chair. And I looked at it, I thought, you know, so if any of y'all know Cindy Hall, she's in the next office over. I called Cindy and, hey, Jack, I said, I need you to come in here. And she goes, what's going on? I said, a man just died in my office or something, you know, and he's still just sitting there like this. And like, I knew he wasn't dead, but what do you do when somebody pretends to die in your office? What do you do with that? So Cindy Hall comes in and she goes, hey, Thomas. And he looks and goes, ugh. And then he gets up and walks out. And that was it. Y'all didn't know Cindy Hall could bring folks back from the dead. But so this morning, let's look at our passage, all right? Luke chapter 16, and I'm just going to read you verses 19 through 25, all right? This is Jesus talking, and he's telling a parable. And he says, there was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried, and in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. This is our passage this morning, and before we really, you know, dig down deep into it, let me tell you what this passage is not about, because this is a passage that gets misused a lot of times and people do weird things with it. The point of this parable, Jesus is not really trying to teach us about the afterlife here. The point of this is not to just talk about heaven or hell or how that works. It's not to talk about whether dead people can talk with each other. I sat through a sermon one time where this pastor preached on this, and he spent the whole time basically mapping out heaven and hell and talking about the chasm and how all that worked. And he never really talked about what the parable was actually about. The Bible teaches a lot of things about what happens after we die, but that's not really the point of this story. It's not the main point. It's also not some kind of weird attack on rich people. I had a professor in seminary who preached on this, and he basically used it to bash anybody that had money and to kind of push this left-wing Marxist eat-the-rich kind of thing, and that's not what's going on here at all right? If you want to see the heart of the issue, the real point here, look back at verse 20 and 21, okay? Here's what it says. It says, "And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table." The real issue here is that we have a guy who is starving to death outside the rich man's door. It says that he was laying at the rich man's gate. So you think about this. The rich guy cannot even go into his house or leave his house without practically stepping over this guy, right? I mean, there's no way that the rich man did not see this guy in need. And the guy starved to death. And in case you don't know, you don't starve to death like in a day or 2 days. You would be amazed how long you can go without food. You can't go long without water, but you can go a long time without food. And so we have this image of this guy who comes in and out of his house, and it says that he's super rich and feasting sumptuously every day. And he just does not care at all about this guy who's starving to death. The fact that he laid there day in and day out, and this guy saw him, this guy who had plenty and could have helped him, and he still starved to death, that's what the parable is really about. The point of this parable is talking about how we treat people, especially poor folks. Does that make sense? You with me so far? And when I first read this, I was trying to think, how do I make this relatable? Because most of us don't come in contact with somebody who's that bad off, right? You know, I mean, you may drive by someone who's asking for money, but on your day-to-day life, you don't just walk by someone who's fixing to starve to death or that bad off. But then I got to thinking, in some places, people do. I went a couple years ago on a trip to Philadelphia with a couple of my friends. And contrary to popular belief, Philadelphia is not really a city of brotherly love, okay? And what really, we did a lot of fun, neat things, but what really stood out in my mind about that trip, because I had never been to a great big city. Have any of y'all ever been to like a huge city? Raise your hand. Like, okay. I hadn't. This was my first time. And we were staying in this really nice hotel. I didn't pay for it. I was basically going for free. And we were in this super nice hotel where the rooms were deluxe and they had two or three restaurants in the hotel. And then we would walk outside at night, and it was the weirdest thing. When you would walk down the sidewalk, there were just homeless people laying on the sidewalk. And it really weirded me out because I had never been, I mean, I've been around homeless folks and I've worked with them, but when I went out the first time, they were just laying all over the sidewalk. I mean, you had to step over them to walk down the sidewalk. And what I didn't realize at first was there was grates and warm air was coming up through the grates. And so they were laying there trying to keep warm, basically. But we started walking down the sidewalk, and I was it made me really anxious. I was like, this is weird. I don't want to just walk over somebody who's laying on the ground, you know? And I didn't know what I was supposed to do. And I'm sure that anyone who's been there a dozen times would say, look, that's just the way it is. And in fact, I stopped in front of one guy and was kind of looking at him, thinking about it. And somebody behind me said, you need to just keep walking. And I looked and they said, look, in this part of town, you don't want to look like a tourist. Keep walking. I said, okay. But so there are places and there are people that encounter people in this bad a shape on a regular basis. And so this story would have been especially kind of shocking to the Jews that heard it, because they had this idea that if you were on God's good side, that you would be healthy and you'd have plenty of money and you wouldn't have that many issues. You know, back then they had this idea that the people that God was pleased with, everything was great. You know, they had the big house in town, they were never sick, they had the big feasts and everything, and they had the likewise idea that if God was not happy with you, that maybe you would have some sicknesses, maybe you wouldn't have what you needed, maybe you would starve. And so they had this weird idea. You might remember whenever Jesus said that it's harder to get a rich man into heaven than a camel through the eye of a needle. Y'all remember that? And after that, the disciples said, well, then who can get into heaven? That's why, because they had this idea that if you were rich, God was pleased with you. But we hear this parable, and it's the poor man who starved to death that goes to heaven, and the rich man goes to hell. Now, you know, as we sit here and read this parable, it's a little bit scary, but don't worry. This is not going to be like a hellfire brimstone sermon today. That's not the point of today. Maybe next Sunday, but not today. But when you read this, and we're talking about this, if you're a believer, if you're somebody who knows Jesus, I don't want you to hear this parable and go, I ain't got to worry about that, I'm saved. I don't want you to hear it and then check out and go, well, you know, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, I'm not worried about going to hell, let's you know, start thinking about what we're having for lunch. No, I want you to all listen, and here's why. Look at this verse in 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. It says, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Now that's interesting. It's interesting because 1 John was written to Christians, okay? And so we're reading it, and what it's essentially saying is, if you have plenty, you have plenty, you have enough, and can help someone, but you decide not to, the author is saying, I'm having a hard time believing that you know the Lord. I have a hard time believing that the love of God is abiding in you. And so when you read that, don't just check out and say, well, I'm saved, I don't have to worry about this. The point of this parable, it should make us all kind of stop and think about, how are we treating people? Are we treating people the way that the Lord would want us to treat people? It's kind of like a gauge. You know, there's certain things you can look at on your car to tell whether you're doing okay, you know, checking the oil or that type of thing. This is kind of like a gauge where if you are a Christian, you can look at this and say, let me see how I'm really doing. Let me see how my walk with Christ is going right now. How am I treating people? How am I treating people who are worse off than me or who are destitute or who are poor? Does that make sense? And let me read you, there's another time that Jesus talks about helping the poor, helping the destitute. This is Matthew chapter 25, verses 41 through 46. And this is Jesus talking. He says, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me, naked, and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So this is interesting. We have two different, you know, passages where the Lord Jesus is talking about how we treat the poor, right? Now, I got to be honest with you. If I was just going to talk about how we help the poor, treat the poor a lot, I probably would not end up talking about hell, okay? But this is Jesus, and in both of these circumstances, he's taking it so seriously. It's so important to the Lord how his people treat the poor that in both instances, he ends up talking about hell. That makes sense. It leads me to believe this is a pretty big deal to Jesus. Jesus really cares how we treat the poor, the destitute, people with less than us. You know, this passage right here, what I remember about this is I used to work at this restaurant and I was a manager there. And this restaurant liked to hire people who were going to seminary to be ministers, that type of thing. And one night, there was myself and another manager, and every night we would have all this food left over, tons of food, and it was pretty good food. And it kind of bothered us that every night we would end up throwing this food away. Like we'd clean up the kitchen and everything, and then we're dumping just tons and tons of fried chicken into the trash can. And so one night, the owner was there, and I said, hey, Mr. So-and-so, do you think that at the end of the night when we close up, could we just give this food to the homeless folks that hang out there? Could we take it to the homeless folks? And We thought this would be like a slam dunk. Like instead of wasting food, we're feeding people. And he said, no, 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 don't do that, don't do that. And we kind of said, why? And he said, well, I'm going to be honest with you. The homeless folks are kind of like stray animals. If you start feeding them, then they might come back. And, you know, I was probably 20 years old, so I kind of thought, okay, all right. But this other guy, this guy was like 60, and he said he was Baptist, but he was really, to me, he's more like Baptist-costal. And he was like, hold on now a minute. He said, aren't you a believer? And the owner goes, well, yeah, of course I am. He goes, you might be talking about Jesus. And the guy kind of looked at him funny, and he talked about this passage. And he said, you know, you basically just compared these homeless folks to stray dogs and cats. Scripture says that might be Jesus. And I remember the owner kind of going, all right, well, now I feel terrible. Why don't you take that fried chicken and go give it to the homeless folks? But that kind of stuck with me. And I know what some of y'all might be thinking, okay, because I've worked with these type of people a lot, and I'm sure that some of you have. There are a lot of reasons that we might be hesitant to help people who are homeless or poor or whatever. There's a lot of reasons we come up with. Like we could say, well, they're in this position because of something that they did. They put themselves in this position. Or we could say, well, people keep trying to help them and they keep doing the same stupid stuff over and over and over. Or we could say, well, they've been helped, but they don't really appreciate it. They don't appreciate what we've done for them or how we've tried to help them before. Or we could just say, you know, they're not very nice people or whatever. But here's the thing. Every single objection like that we could think of to stop helping these people, the Lord could pretty much say the exact same things about us. Do you understand what I'm saying? I need you to nod your head if you understand what I'm saying. Just like we could look at some of those folks and say, they're in this position because of something that they've done. How many times have we cried out to God or asked God for help or asked God to bail us out because of something that we've done? Usually when I get really upset, really anxious, or I really feel like, God, you got to help me out this time, it's usually because of a poor decision I've made or something that I've done wrong. And how many times have you prayed, Lord, I keep messing up with this, but if you'll help me one more time, I'll quit doing this habit that I have, I'll quit doing that, this vice that I have, if you'll forgive me this time, or, you know, if one more time you'll get me out of trouble, I'll quit doing this. But you keep going back to that same vice or idol, what have you, over and over and over. And we may say, well, you know, those people, they don't appreciate it. They're not thankful when we help them. Are we really going to sit here and act like we appreciate all that the Lord has done for us like we should? Is anyone going to raise their hand and say that? No. All the objections, all the things that we could raise to not want to help these people, the Lord could say the exact same thing about the best of us. And yet, God is faithful and merciful and gracious time and time and time again. He's still patient with us. He still wants to help us. I have yet to pray to God and feel like He was saying, nope, I'm tired of helping you. I've never felt like that. And so I would encourage you to be as patient and gracious with these folks as you would like the Lord to be with you. Does that make sense? And let me tell y'all a story, okay? I have some family that I just can't stand. I really don't like them. It's all right, they're never gonna hear this sermon because they're not smart enough to turn a computer on, so. And Rachel already knows who I'm talking about. These people are the worst. They are mean, dishonest, racist, treat the rest of the family like dirt. They're mooches. When my grandfather died, they all showed up high on drugs to the funeral. And while we were at the funeral, some of them went back to my grandma's house and stole stuff, okay? So when I say that they're not good people, it's not like, well, Jacob's just being... No, they're not good people. And so not long after my grandpa passed away, I got to be honest with you. You show up high to my grandpa's funeral and you steal from my grandma, you're on my bad list, okay? Not long after that, it was Christmas time. And we all pile over to grandma's, like, we got to take care of grandma. It's her first Christmas without grandpa. We got to look after her. And those folks showed up to Christmas. And I got to be honest with you, it made me mad. I mean, as soon as their car pulled up, I could feel I'm getting angry, you know, and I'm sitting there and I'm already ill. And they come in and act like nothing's weird. We didn't steal from grandma. You know, we're just going to come in and act trashy like we always do. And I almost had to leave. And then my grandma, who's smart and does what she wants, she pulled me aside and she said, listen, I'm going to talk to you. And, I felt like I was going to get fussed at already. And she said, listen, I understand why you're upset. All the problems you have with them, they're all true. But she took her finger and kind of poked me in the chest, but she said, but they're my grandkids too. And this is my house. She said, just like you're my grandchild, they're my grandchild. She said, and I need you to be okay with them being here. And it kind of, you hate to disappoint grandma. She was right. It's her house, her rules. And she was still hoping that they would turn it around, turn into decent people, the Lord would get a hold of them. And the reason that I tell you that story is not just to talk junk about my family, but listen to Proverbs 22:2, okay? Proverbs chapter 22, verse 2. It says, the rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. And when I read that, what I think is just like my crazy family, they're still my grandma's grandkids. Any people who are bad off, who are homeless, who are making poor decisions, they're still the Lord's. I kind of feel like just like my grandma poked her finger in my chest and said, they're still my grandkids, it's still my house. I feel like if we had any problems with helping these folks, the Lord would poke you in the chest and say, those are still my kids. It's still my decision. Does that make sense? And it's not, let's put this aside for a second, you know, now that I've made even myself feel bad. Helping people who might be worse off than you, who might not have as much as you, it's good for you. Each morning I try to read a chapter of the book of Proverbs, and I would really encourage you, you need to read Proverbs. I want to share a couple of these Proverbs with you, all right? Proverbs 14:31. Whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is generous to the needy honors him. When we don't look after and take care of poor folks like we're supposed to, it's an insult to God. That's what it says, right? But when we're generous to them, it honors God. That alone should make us want to do a better job of helping folks. Look at Proverbs 19:17. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. You ever heard this one before? Now, when I read this one, it really changed how I looked at it, because God doesn't need me. He doesn't need me to do anything. He can take care of himself. But the idea that when I help somebody, when I do something for someone, that I'm doing my Lord a favor, or a favor that he might repay later, it really changed how I look at helping people. You know, I'm not doing it for this person who's pretending to have a heart attack in my office. I'm doing it for my Lord. It's a favor to my Lord. Proverbs 14:21. Whoever despises his neighbor is a sinner, but blessed is he who is generous to the poor. Do y'all see how, as we're just going through a couple of these scriptures, in the long run, it's better for you and your walk with Christ to help people who are less fortunate than you? Look, we're commanded to do it. It's so serious that when Jesus talks about it, he ends up talking about hell, and it's better for us. And not just that, it's better for our church. When you go through the Gospels, a lot of times when we have these exciting stories where Jesus does miracles, a lot of times what's happening is Jesus is taking care of a physical need so that he can talk to them about a spiritual need. He'll heal them of some sickness or blindness or something like that so that he'll have the opportunity to talk to them about what's really important, about spiritual matters. And in the same way, we would do really well to try to help people with their physical needs so that we will have an opportunity to talk to them about their spiritual needs. It's hard to hear the gospel over a growling stomach, okay? And when you don't care about people, when you don't help people, and you try to share the Lord with them, a lot of times the way it comes off is, well, he's just trying to get me saved. He just wants to put another notch on his belt so he can tell people that he went over the plan of salvation with somebody. He doesn't really care about me. But when you actually help people and start to build a relationship with them, then they can tell, this person genuinely cares about me. Maybe I should listen to what they have to say about the Lord. If we'll help people with their physical needs, hunger, homelessness, things like that, it will give us more opportunities to help them with their spiritual needs. And the question that, you know, whenever I talk with other folks about this, the question that I get a lot of times is, well, how much? How much are we supposed to do? You know, if Jacob Peterson keeps making the same mistakes, or if Jacob's always in, or whatever, fill in the blank, whoever you're thinking of, how much are we really supposed to help these people? Look, I don't know, okay? Usually, I think it's a Holy Spirit thing where in different circumstances, if you're listening to the Lord, the Lord's probably going to tell you. He's probably going to put it on your heart. There's not like a magical ratio or anything where you help them this much and you're off the hook. I think usually the Lord's going to put something on you in your mind where something that you normally don't think about is going to pop into your head. Somebody might be popping into your head right now and you're like, oh yeah, that person. That's probably God telling you to help them somehow, okay? I don't know how much you're supposed to go, how far you're supposed to take it. All I know is this, is that I have read this Bible and I have not found a single passage where Jesus or the Lord goes, you help that person too much. I haven't found that. I've not found a story where someone got in trouble for being too gracious or too merciful to the poor. I haven't found that. But what I have found are a lot of stories and verses where the Lord gets real upset with people who don't help at all. All right? So if we have to err, we probably need to err on the side of mercy and generosity. Does that make sense? And, you know, I told you the story at the beginning, not just because it's kind of funny, but I want you to know that I know that sometimes these folks can be difficult. I know that. There are people who wander around downtown Sanford that are absolutely bananas and difficult to work with. Yesterday, me, Rachel, and the boys were driving down Steel Street, and I went, oh, man, it's that guy. Whew. Okay, I get it. And when you work with those folks, sometimes it can make you callous, and you can stop caring as much as you should. I get it. It happens. But the Lord still commands us to love those people and minister to them. All right? So my encouragement today is if we've been talking about this and the Lord has put someone on your mind, maybe he's telling you to help that person somehow. I don't know. Let's just all watch how we treat people, especially people with less than us, because it really matters to Jesus. In just a second, Sherry's going to come up with an invitational hymn. If you don't know the Lord, I keep talking about the gospel. If you don't know the Lord, if you've not accepted the gospel, I would love to talk with you about that. Or if you're looking for a church home, somewhere that's going to really care about spreading the gospel and telling folks about the Lord, a place where the folks are going to care about people with less than them, we would love to have you join us. Sure.
Let's stand and join in singing hymn number 450, I Need Thee Every Hour.
Thank you.